In your name, amen.
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 Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
So we're doing this mini-series on the four values of MCF. And just in case you're not sure what they're encountering God, getting involved, living generously, and transforming communities. I was just reflecting on this. These values came about through the then elders of the church about 8 years ago. Did we say? About 8 years ago. About 8 years ago. And that was before I got involved with the elders on the eldership team. But it was just interesting as I was coming onto the eldership team to talk through and listen and understand what these values are. And actually, from my previous involvement with the church, many years in the church, it was easy to relate to them because, in fact, we'd already been going down this route anyway. There was nothing new to us. I think all the values did was to actually kind of give us some kind of definition and context of who we are as the people of God here in this place. And out of that, I think, the main one is encountering God. I think all the other values flow out of that. We've said that before. I think it's so important that it's not that we're just told to do these things, but actually God demonstrates this in the way that he's dealt with us. So encountering God is the bedrock on which the other values rest. And I think it's essential that we start with encountering God at a personal level, in our families, and together as a church body. If we are going to be effective to be the disciples and witnesses of Jesus, then we need to encounter this life-changing offer of forgiveness of sins, of a new relationship with God our Father, and with that being worked through our lives to impact others. When we become Christians, we begin to start living God's way. We replace the great I am in my life with the great I am who is God. We become Jesus-centered. We put Jesus at the center of all we are, all we do. You know, and God's great offer of salvation is good news. It's the good news message to us all, to people everywhere. It demonstrates God's heart towards us. And the way that I look at this is, I've termed it, is superabundant generosity. His love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his kindness, and it goes on and on and on, flows out of God's heart of generosity towards us. And let's not think that we in any way deserve that. We didn't. No way. But it's all from God. It's all out of that generous flow from his heart. There's a TV advert. It says, we have a saying in Yorkshire, it'll do. It will do. But when we say that in Yorkshire, what we actually mean is, it will more than do. It will more than do. And what God did was not just adequate. What he did was amazing, complete, thorough. It left no error of margin or margin of doubt. God did it once and for all through Jesus Christ. And it is that that we need to get hold of. It is that that will change our lives. It will change our priorities. It will change what we do. It will allow us to achieve things that we can't do in ourselves. And there's lots of things, and this morning Oksana just explained one of them. But there are lots of things that God is wanting to do through us that reflects his generosity to us, but to other people as well through us. We need to embrace this generosity that comes from God. And it needs to affect our lives. Romans 5 verse 8 says this: "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When we were far away from God, when we were lost, cut off from God, we were going in the opposite direction. We were doing, as we turned, we were doing a Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and yet he went completely the opposite direction. He went away from what God was wanting to do, and God dealt with him. And we've heard that in our series on Jonah. What God did, well, God did what we couldn't do for ourselves. He sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross for us, for our sins, to deal with the problem of sin. God's superabundant generosity demonstrated will cause us to live generously. It should be a natural flow, a natural or supernatural consequence of encountering God through salvation. When we become a Christian, we follow Jesus. We put Jesus at the center of our lives. So that's the basis from which we're starting this morning. So what does it look like to be living generously? I think the Lego movie story of the Good Samaritan tells us three things about living generously. It affects the way we give. It involves sacrifice and inconvenience. And it affects the way we treat other people. At this point, I just want to say, cheer up. I could have come to share 10 things with you this morning, but it's just 3. So, it affects the way we give. And automatically, I think we think about money. But I want to widen this out because I think it's much wider than that. God has given us more than money. God has given us money, possessions, things that we have. And he's given us time to do things. When it comes to money, you know, we can have an attitude, well, I'll give to God a tithe, a tenth, one tenth of my income. And that's for God. And the 90% is for myself. That sounds reasonable to me, doesn't it? But actually, God is not just interested in the tenth, 10%. God is interested in all you have and is interested in how you use what you have. I think generosity flows from the heart. You can't make it happen. You can give. The action of giving can be done. But in terms of giving in the right way that reflects generosity, I think that's something different. It needs to be done with the right attitude. Philippians 4, verse 12, this is Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi, says this: "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And I think that says it all. And certainly in my life, I can definitely relate with that. There have been times when I have had plenty, but equally there are times when I've been in want, in a sense. And at those times, it does cause you to trust in God. It does cause you to trust in God and to lean on him. And I have to say, at those times, God has come through in some surprising ways. Unexpected ways. But God has provided. I think when I think about giving, and certainly Andy's alluded to this earlier on, I just think about the giving here at this church. The giving through general offerings and mission offerings. And there was a concern, well, what's going to be the impact on our finances as we go into the pandemic? Big unknown. For a lot of people, the big unknown as to where do we stand in terms of jobs and earning and those sorts of things. I think one of the things that has surprised us is virtually straight away we noticed that in the missions offerings, the amounts given increased significantly. This is in a time of pandemic when, you know, everybody's cutting back and everyone's being cautious. Yet, and it wasn't all me, by the way, but together we responded in generosity. And I expect, in some cases, that would have been at a price, in a sense. That would have cost. That would have been sacrificial. At the same time, I think I've noted, if I've seen the accounts correctly, that the general offerings remained fairly steady, with possibly a small increase on the previous year. And again, I just think, you know, that's absolutely amazing at a time where everybody's cutting back, cutting costs, people are being laid off and what have you. And yet, in terms of the heart of generosity, we gave and we currently give and we want to give. I just remember many, many years ago, I was in the city centre and I was outside the town hall and there was a chap who was doing a kind of a survey thing, and you try to avoid them, but they always catch up with you, don't they? And it was interesting because his opening lines is, "Would you like to earn more money?" And I'm thinking, well, the obvious answer that he's looking for is for everybody to say, yes. So I looked at him, puzzled, and I said, well, I don't actually need more money. And he looked at me quite astounded. Just like, you're not supposed to say that. You're not. And he said, but don't you want more money? And I said, well, actually, where I am at the moment, I have sufficient income to cover the needs of me and my family. And I'm satisfied with that. And he just looked at me, looked down at his clipboard, looked back at me and said, oh, thank you very much. In terms of the possessions that we have, I have a garden and occasionally get out there to sort things out. And I've got some extendable loppers for cutting bushes and branches off trees. And I was out there and I just started doing this. And my neighbour from over the fence said, oh, do you think I could use those when you're finished? And I kind of said, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, not a problem. So I was doing a lot of trimming down and what have you. And after a while, I'd finished that, so I said, you can use the loppers now. And, okay, thanks. And they did a lot of cutting stuff off as well. And then they returned the thing to me. And I just thought, well, it didn't cost anything. It was just a simple act, a simple request, and they were really appreciative. Things like that just help develop the kind of relationships you have with people, you know, your friends, and particularly neighbours. On the other side, I'm catching off him the use of his electric paint stripper. So that works both ways, doesn't it? I think also just looking back in terms of time, I seem to have got involved in lots of various charities and organisations over the years. And there is obviously a time commitment when you're involved in these charities. And it comes with the kind of responsibilities you have as well. And I've had to look at my availability and priorities. I have to say that generally my input is appreciated, and generally I enjoy what I do. But there is an assessment, there is a kind of a reckoning of, am I prepared to give this time for this particular charity, for this particular work? And I think, again, it's no good doing that grudgingly. I think you need to do that out of a sense of generosity, of wanting to help, wanting to be involved. And we got a bit of that last week from Jonathan when he was talking about getting involved. Matthew 10, verse 8, at the end of that verse, it simply says, freely you have received, freely give. Now the context there was, it was talking about healing the sick, raising the dead, and cleansing those with leprosy. So we can get on and do all of that, cast out demons, we'll do all that. But I think it also applies to what we have. You know, we have received our salvation as being free to us. Tremendous cost paid by God through Jesus' death on the cross. And yet what we've received, what we handle, what we come in contact with, we can give freely. I think this leads on to the next point. Which is, it involves sacrifice and inconvenience. There is a cost when we make these decisions, whether it's finances, use of possessions, or our time. And therefore we need to do it in a sense of faith. And not in a sense of obligation or duty. We can know that faith. We can know that sense of generosity as it affects us in the way that we live our lives, in the lifestyle that we choose, in the priorities that we give ourselves. And there is a joy in giving to other people, whether it's the joy of giving money or our time or the use of our possessions. But I thought there is also a cost, isn't there? And this is where we all need to hear from God for ourselves, quite honestly. And I can't tell you what to do, and I wouldn't propose to tell you what to do. I just think you need to have an appreciation of what God has done for you, and then you need to reflect that in the decisions that you make, in the things that you do. I think giving comes at a cost or at a price in terms of, you know, it costs when you give time into different situations. And I'm just mindful that, you know, we have had some pastoral situations where people have given over and beyond, in a sense, of what they have in terms of time, in terms of energy levels and ability. But we are motivated by the love of God. We're motivated out of a heart of generosity. And we demonstrate this by the way that we do prioritise other people and other situations. And the third point I want to make is it affects the way we treat people. Have you noticed how easy it is to be generous with your own family and friends and people you like? The amazing thing in the Lego movie was that this man who had been mugged, robbed, left for dead, it was the priest that came along. So this Jewish man had been beaten up. It was the priest that came along that decided he didn't want to get his hands dirty. It was a fellow Jew who came along and decided this could be dangerous, this could be risky. But it was the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were not the same as the Jews. Lots of similarities, but they weren't the same. And it was this man who came across a Jew, a stranger. And what's it say? What did he do? He took care of him. He took him to a place where he could be looked after and paid for him to do for that to be done. Now that is generosity to a complete stranger, to people you don't know, with no way of getting anything back. You know, it just happened. And I think our generosity needs to extend beyond what we're used to in terms of our family. There's a place for that indeed. Family and the church. But it needs to extend somehow in what we're doing, either as individuals or together. It actually goes out to the strangers, the people that we don't know that much about. And the input of finances and our time into situations is the thing that's going to make the difference, because it demonstrates the generosity of God to us and that to other people. If God puts someone or a situation on your mind and on your heart, then pray for wisdom and courage to respond. Several people in the room have done that in various ways, and have launched out, and perhaps look at some of those. But I think it does take courage to respond. And let me say that when you do respond, in a sense, you don't really know what you're getting yourself into, and I think that's deliberate on God's part. Because if we did, we probably wouldn't even contemplate it. And yet when we do that in faith, we take those first stumbling steps, shall we say, of responding to that, and it's amazing what happens. And that's not because we've done anything other than being obedient, as it were, other than responding to God's generosity. God steps in and does things. And suddenly, what starts off as something small and maybe insignificant begins to grow. And the impact of that begins to grow. And the influence of that begins to grow as well. We do need to find appropriate ways and to meet practical situations as well. So we need God's wisdom as well. And some of the things I'm thinking about, it's wonderful. I'm often asked, so how do things happen at MCF? Well, we have elders meetings. Yes, yes. We do a bit of praying occasionally. We do a bit of laughing. But actually, we do seek God and we do want to move forward. But actually, we're also open to what other people are hearing from God. And I just remember when Phil France came to us with a suggestion of a Thursday night, I was going to call it youth club, but drop-in type situation. It's now called The Hub, isn't it? And we weren't sure what the two... And I don't know. Well, we all said it was Phil, but actually, it was God, Phil, wasn't it? And things began to open up there, and several people came into the church through that as well. Meeting people who were desperate and needy, and spending time and being generous towards them. I think the Ros and Steve situation with their involvement on Batemore is a joy to see. The meeting on a Thursday afternoon, is it? Thursday afternoon, yeah. Yes. And their involvement now with the development of the park, is it? And that area there. And you know, that comes out of generosity. It's going to cost time. At times it's a challenge physically. There's lots of things to arrange and do and set up. But I think, you know, with the team that is there, I think it's making an impact already, and it will continue to make an impact. Well, what's that to do with the church? Well, nothing directly, other than it's actually getting church on the park. It's actually getting church on the precinct. It's those sorts of activities that reflects God's generosity. Getting involved includes time and energy for people we don't know. But surely this is part of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to the church. That we are to go out and we are to be his witnesses. We are to be his representatives. To do that, we need to be changed. To do that, we need to get hold of God's heart and just God's heart of generosity as well. What we're doing is we're building contacts, friendships, bridges into the local community to take the gospel to where people are at. With their various situations and with what they're facing. God revealed himself to us who have become Christians. God has shown his heart towards us. And we need his heart. And that heart of generosity as we go out. Because that's going to speak more than anything else. Getting involved, as we heard last week. And then I think that will lead us to next week about transforming communities as well. So just to conclude, we've looked at encountering God and the need to embrace all that he's done for us. And let that affect the way that we give. That it will involve sacrifice and inconvenience. And it will affect the way we treat people. People that we don't necessarily know. And that's all I want to say at this stage. I just want to come back to, in response, I just want to come back to a couple of the choruses and the songs that we've been singing. The first one that we sang was, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." It starts with knowing him. You might have heard about him wherever you are currently. You might have heard about him, but have you responded to his offer? Offer of salvation, of a new life, of eternal life. One of the other songs said this: lost in wonder, lost in love, lost in praise forevermore, because of Jesus' unfailing love, I am forgiven, I am restored. The only way that we will live generously is if we have been affected by God's salvation. If we've been affected by God's generosity towards us, which changes the focus in our life and changes the way that we live life, a far better way. Amen.
Thanks, Roland. Let's just pray for God.